Can you hear that Rocky Mountain water as it thunders coming down to wash you away? You can't hold back a rising tide, and you can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track. You can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track.
Welcome to Southpaws, episode 442, China Dolls. Good evening, guys, gals, and non-binary pals. I am Savrin, and joining me today are...
Fuzzwolf.
And Shiva.
We're all here. Yay. You missed us last week because I was in the process of driving south to San Antonio for Alamo City Furry Invasion. And now we're going to just go right into it and talk about our furry invasion experience. Woo! This one was going to be just me and Ajax, but then we also got Zia. Mm-hmm. Then we also had Keo join us, and then also you joined us, Fuzz.
Yeah.
You had like a half day, and you said, fuck it, you're going to come down to San Antonio for the weekend.
Yeah, I was telling Shiva before we started that I had a shitload of airline miles built up, and I actually just booked my third free flight for the year.
Nice.
So one of those was I used airline miles to go to San Antonio and back, and it's only an hour flight.
Yeah.
And I was able to get back in time for work on Monday, so I didn't have to take a PTO on Monday.
So you probably spent more time waiting, going through security and waiting for the flight than you did in the air.
Yeah. Although Monday, because I flew, my flight took off at 5 a.m.
Jesus.
So I woke up at 2:30, which is why I tried to go to bed at like 8 that on Sunday night.
Uh-huh.
So I got there right as security was opening. So I flew through security, no pun intended, but on Monday morning.
So. Well, I mean, you're, you know, a citizen and
yeah,
white, that's, so.
Yeah, both are true.
Both are true. You know, you weren't hiding any, like, suspicious dongs in your bag or anything.
So they searched my bag both times, like, and different things set it off. So I, like, they were like, do you have a tablet in your bag or a laptop? And I'm like, no. I'd forgotten that I had my Kindle, and apparently they counted that as a quote-unquote tablet. It's not. It's one of the e-ink ones, but it has electronics inside it, so it probably showed up on there. But also the other thing I'd forgotten about was I left directly from work, so I had my work computer in my bag.
Oh.
Which is not a laptop. It's one of those little mini desktops about the size of a Nintendo Wii. It's not a laptop, so I didn't think of it when they asked about it, so they had to send both of those things back through and my bag. And then on the way back, I pulled those things out. And one of the super sponsor gifts at ACFI is this little neon lighted bow tie that works a lot like my my hoodie from Rising Sun.
Yeah.
Where it has the three BL different wire settings and stuff. But I left that out of the bag with the computer. And the lady noticed it. She's like, oh, what is this? And I told her what it was. And she's like, okay, I'm glad you told me because I know what that's going to look like on the x-ray. It's going to be a bunch of twisted wires with electronics and a battery.
Ooh.
Like, it's literally going to look like a fucking bomb component. So I told her what it was. It's a light-up bow tie. She's like, okay. But then something else, I can't remember what triggered it on the way back.
They were just fucking with you.
Yeah. The agent said every agent has different things that they kind of pull out. And like I had like a thing of powder in there, and sometimes powder, because it looks like a solid mass on the x-ray. A lot of times it might look like a plastic explosive or something, I guess.
Yeah, sure.
So,
but ACFI, yeah. Yay.
But ACFI, so- yay. Yeah, so I wasn't there super long. I was there just long enough, I think. To sum up my weekend, all I did basically was sleep and eat. And it was everything that I hoped it could be. Like I napped during the day. I slept late because I wasn't going down there to work table at all. The three of y'all had that shit covered. So I just kind of hung out and I had lunch in a hotel. And then I enjoyed going out to eat with you guys at various restaurants, which was really, like, the highlight of the weekend for me was, like, going out on the Riverwalk with my friends. And, like, yeah, you and Ajax.
You mean enjoying a con instead of working a con?
Right. Like, you and Ajax I see all the time, but I don't see Zia very often. So,
well, I mean, he lives on the moon.
Yeah. So it was nice for the four of us to have dinner a few times. And we went to some cool restaurants, too.
Yeah. So, like, Thursday, we got in real early because we left the area at, like, 8 a.m.
Mm-hmm. It's only a 5.5 hour.
Yeah, we made it down there by 2. We did the requisite stops at Bucky's along the way. I finally ended up purchasing a Bucky's t-shirt, their seasonal Halloween one with the ghost beaver on the front, because I'm a total mark for that bullshit.
Yeah, you are.
And, you know, but they're really well-spaced stops. And, like, I didn't have to stop and get fuel, but it was good to get there, you know, kolaches or whatever, and a soda. So we get down there, we got our stuff loaded in. Like, we were having some issues on getting our stuff unloaded into the vendor hall.
Oh.
So I had to drive around for a bit. Then eventually we just brought it back and said, look, we're going to unload the stuff here. Give us a cart. And we just, like, grabbed a cart and used it to take all the shit up to the vendor hall just right out the gate, rather than, like, they wanted you to park in the other garage and then take it from the area below the other garage all the way down, then up to 3. Like, fuck that noise. Because that little walkway on the underground was kind of bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, we got our stuff in. We figured out our spots and just, you know, I was the muscle and then Zia and Ajax had the plan. We got everything set up and then we just kind of faffed off. There was a ramen place down the street that Zia and Kyo ended up going to twice that day because they went there for lunch and we were like, no, we want ramen now. And they went there for dinner and it was actually really good.
It was really good and it was very close to the hotel and furries and ramen, man, that place got absolutely slammed.
And it was so tiny. It was this tiny little restaurant that maybe like seating for maybe 25, 30 patrons inside and out. So it was packed all weekend long.
Yeah,
so
one night we went to dinner and the fucking line to get in was all the way down the block.
But the restaurant and walking situation in San Antonio was so good. Like, you can walk pretty much everywhere. You can get from the hotel to the Riverwalk proper. It's like half a mile at most from like the hotel to the Rainforest Cafe we went to on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm. So how close was this to where PAX was at one time?
It was about 2 miles. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like they're on the northern end of the Riverwalk, mm-hmm. whereas PAX South is a little bit southeast of the main Riverbend U. Mm-hmm. So you could still walk to PAX South. You could walk to the La Quinta there real easily. It's just on the opposite end.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
And it was actually just a short walk down the Riverwalk to the Tropicana, the hotel it was last year.
Yeah.
The walking situation is really pleasant. There's always lots of people around, so you can walk the Riverwalk in the evenings without being like, ooh, someone's going to shank me under the bridge. It's like they have cops patrolling on the water. They have little, like, cop boats.
Really?
Patrolling the canal.
Huh. San Antonio, I mean, they had a genius idea to build that river walk around the river there and make that, like, a big tourist area.
And it's constantly packed.
And they have, like, the horse-drawn carriages and stuff like that. Like, they really thought up a lot of stuff that would be appealing to people.
Yeah, they have a supremely active downtown nightlife. Like, anything, like, there's a little mall, there's...
And, like, Dallas, which dries up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dallas's downtown's getting better. There's more restaurants, and there's a lot more people living there than there was 5-10 years ago. But nothing like San Antonio.
Like, so, like, honestly, if you guys just want an excuse to go down to San Antonio and see all the touristy shit down there, ACFI is actually a really good excuse.
It's a good base.
Yeah. Because, I mean, the hotel's right on the Riverwalk. Well, more or less.
And no, you can walk down to the Riverwalk from there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's right there. And there's all this stuff. And it's a really nice area.
I remember going down on the Riverwalk when we were at PAX South and just how kind of charming and pretty it was.
Mm-hmm. It's very well maintained. They like they integrate the old buildings in with the new stuff. Like, there was a couple of restaurants that I wanted to go to that we didn't have time to go to as a group.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to go to by myself. There's this place that does like donut sandwiches called Bordeaux's. Oh,
I was going to ask you once if you wanted to do that.
We were busy. Like, we went to Rainforest Cafe Saturday, and then Sunday went to County Line. And then Friday we went to
the Havana Hotel.
It's a place called Ocho.
So Ocho is a restaurant. It's in the Havana Hotel, and it's Cuban themed.
Yep.
And it's like a very old building that you walk in there. It's super cool. I sent my friend that really likes fish the really neat fish bowl and the very old fashioned looking fish tank
and the very old fashioned looking bar.
Yeah. But yeah, we all had, like, three out of four of us had these Cuban sandwiches, Cubanos, and we actually ended up with a Puerto Rican Lyft driver one night. He was talking about how, like, a lot of Cuban and Puerto Rican food are very similar, and we mentioned that we went to this place, and, like, he wrote down the name, and he's like, yeah, I've heard that there's, like, a really good, like, authentic Cuban place in San Antonio, but I could never remember the name.
If you guys like Cuban, there's one right over here that's really good.
Ooh, we gotta check that out sometime. Yeah. I'm just interested in trying, again, different foods from different countries.
And it probably doesn't have soy, so you're safe.
Yeah.
There's not a lot for us to say, like, at the con proper, because most of it was, like, we used the hotel as a base of operations. We sold during the day, and then the evenings we fucked off to do other things.
Like, a lot of dealers do that. I think they've done so many cons that they're kind of done with that. Plus, a lot of stuff wraps up by the time the den closes.
Yeah. Like, there was, like, more than a people at the table, but just there wasn't a lot of programming either. Mm-hmm. It's a fairly small con. I don't know what their attendance was, but they're maybe a step or more larger than MFM is. It's not a huge convention. And, you know, they're growing, and that's fine, and they've got the growing pains, like their decision to split the vendor hall across two rooms and have a sin bin of adult vendors did not work out for people in said sin bin. Like, I think it's a really poor decision, and the fandom needs to just keep doing what they've been doing for the past 20 years and going to Teacher Supply Store and putting funny stickers over the dongs in their print books.
Mm. Well, okay, so WikiFur hasn't been updated for this year, but 2018, Alamo City had 1,006 attendees.
Okay.
Remember, MFM has somewhere around 600.
Okay, so like double to triple MFM size.
Yeah, it is significantly larger. And I wouldn't be surprised if they got into the mid-thousands this year.
Yeah.
I'm going to their Twitter account to see if they ever posted
This year, numbers. Because they had to move spaces within the cycle, they ended up bumping up against another group. There was a group of, like, World War II and intervening wars fighter aces.
Yeah, I heard about the moment of silence.
And also, like, all the parties got shut down on Saturday night, apparently, due to complaints from those people. Then there's also, like, a random smattering of, like, high school volleyball girls or something, or cheerleaders.
We know nothing about having to deal with cheerleaders.
Yeah. I mean, minor issues, but it didn't directly affect us as vendors during the con, because we're selling books or milling about. It's not like we have to deal with the logistics of, oh, there is a bunch of old timers over there talking about how they fought Jerry over there in the war, while, you know, a bunch of young queers are wandering around and there's giant wolves and foxes.
You don't have to worry about it because we're not running it.
That's right. It's not my con, not my problem. I had to tell myself that a few times because I was like, oh, geez, oh, God. And then, like, all right, wait, no, I just need to go sell books to people. Never mind.
I do have to say that apparently several of the World War II fighting aces were attended the drag show on Saturday night.
Well, the storm has gotten here.
Yeah, I just heard it come rumbling through.
Wow, for a second I thought that was your garage door opening. I thought
no, it was the
someone from your household was coming home.
Patio covering rattling, and then it just blew down the flue.
Yeah,
of the fireplace.
Yeah, because you see how it kind of pushed out the little cover, the cat cover?
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. We're about to get some storms, so that's fun. My laptop is on battery power, But the other equipment is on the power strip. So if it goes out, the episode ends. Anyways. Yeah.
Save frequently. Save
but
often.
No, the con was good for what it's worth. I had a really good time in San Antonio. Like, we got to see stuff and hang out.
Radio Comics there, Ellen?
Yeah.
Okay. Ellen, I'd be surprised if she didn't, but, you know.
Ellen and Joe were there, and, like, I talked to them for about an hour at one point. Fuzz talked to them for about an hour on one point. Full stories. Like, I was talking to Joe, and he was like, he really needs to sit down and, like, commit to audio or text, like, some of the history of the early fandom publishing scene that he was involved in. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yes, you need to do that. Like, Summercat's doing the Furry Library, and they're doing as much preservation of physical printing that they could do, mm-hmm. but they were not intimately involved with the early publishing scene.
And like, Choco Pony is writing a history of conventions.
Yeah, so I mean, I think that book's out, but like,
no, Fred Patton's book is out. Choco Pony is still working on his.
It's coming down like mad out there.
Oh, is it? Mm.
Yeah, Panther just sent me a text. Adam is a leaf on the wind. Watch how he trembles. He hasn't sent me a video, but I'm sure he is trembling in Panther's lap as we speak.
Poor doggo. At least Panther's... I'm glad Panther's home.
Oh, yeah.
It's just not alone. Starting to hit here. We got a whole big wave coming in over us.
Yeah, that's why when we parted ways at Whataburger, I was like, yeah, get home and hug the dog. So, actually...
Hug our poor scared son.
Pretty good.
Yep,
he sent me a video. And then the ride home was similarly anticlimactic. We just got home, unloaded the stuff, and we're done. I will say, though, the beds of that hotel sucked ass. Mm-hmm. And so it was extremely nice to be back in my own bed, my side of the bed, under my sheets, with my pillow, with my CPAP, and my dog.
Yeah.
I asked the guys, I need one of you guys to volunteer to curl up and sleep at my knees under the covers, and not a single one of those casual bitches would do it. I cannot understand why they would not.
I mean, Zia might be small enough to do that.
Like, I just need you to curl up at my knees.
Channel your inner corgi.
Curl up into a little ball. You can do it. No. God. But that was really ACFI. It's pretty good. It's a great excuse to go down to San Antonio. Mm-hmm. And, like, I'm happy to go down to it as long as it's still, you know, we're still vending down there and stuff. Because that's another really good excuse. I'm down there to sell people books and also do touristy shit in the evenings.
I haven't been down. About the only time I ever went to San Antonio was when we went to PAX that one time. Other than that, never been to San Antonio. I've been close because I've been to...
Poor Adam. I'm looking at the video and, like, he's in the wedge. Like, he's wedged himself between the couch arm and Panther.
Yeah.
But he's just like, tremble.
Mm. You know, I've been close before because I've been to Schlitterbahn a bunch. Haven't been for years, but that's about as close as I can.
When you say that, you really got to throw the German in. Yeah, I've been to Schlitterbahn.
Need to go yell back. I loved going. It's been years.
It's like the Autobahn, but it's made of water.
So we've been, speaking of Nazis, we've been watching Man in the High Castle.
Okay, I was like, where are we going with this? It's like, which topic is that one, Shiva?
Well, it's 2019. It could be a lot of them.
Exactly.
No, so Siam has had Man in High Castle for years, and he said it was really good. Just not one I ever sat down and watched. Well, mm-hmm. We usually watch something before bed, me and Sarah do. And it's like, well, let's give it. He said it's good. Tried it. It's like, holy crap, this is really good. But it's also very difficult. Like, you watch it, and it's like, oh my god, I need to watch the next episode. But once you stop... Starting it is hard because it's like a really heavy, intense topic. Mm-hmm. It's one of those ones where you have to kind of keep watching it because once you're into it, oh my god, it takes you away. But you're talking about a whole bunch of rough subjects.
Is that the one where theoretically America lost the Second World War, so it split between Japan and Germany?
Right. So Germany has everything east of the Rockies, Japan has a little bit west of the Rockies, and the Rockies themselves are a neutral zone between the two.
Oh, okay.
Because good luck marching an army across them.
So I guess they didn't stay friendly after the war.
There's tensions there because neither likes the other. Right. They both think that they're the superior.
Mm.
And yeah,
this is it was an ally ship of convenience then.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about it, the Nazis being all about the master race, being of course white, blonde haired, blue eyes, teaming up in a war with an Asian country. Yeah, mm-hmm. You kind of tell, like, clearly their end goals were not going to be the same.
Well, the Japanese were very superior as well. So it was both likely to be...
They both thought that they were the master race, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Or at least I don't know if master race is the right term for the Japanese, but definitely born to rule.
Right.
And
it's like people are born to rock and furries are born to fuck.
So it takes place in 1962. It's been occupied for a long time, but it's enough time so that there's still veterans around that fought in the wars, but they're still in their late 40s, early 50s. You know, the main characters who are in their 20s remember the war themselves. You know, it's a while back, but it's not impossibly far. It's enough so that the active generation remembers the conflict. And it's interesting to see how both halves of the U.S. have been tilted by each occupational force. Obviously, they're still at the root Americans, but the policies on both sides have really affected everybody. But it's good, but my God, it's heavy. And there's something weird going on, so.
Sounds like, I might have to check it out sometime.
And that's on Amazon. So one thing that has been coming out is some anime.
Oh, yes.
So there's this one called Kimono Michi Rise Up, which is a goofy-ass show that is airing on Funimation, which is very furry.
Oh, God, yes. It's hilarious.
It's like a wrestler is isekai'd into another world to fight beastmen, but he's like a total furry.
Oh, I saw the clip of that. Yeah, where he's cuddling the big wolf guy who gets all blushy.
Yeah, and like he suplexes the sorceress that summons him there and is like, screw you, I'm going to do my own thing. And mm-hmm. It has a bunch of furries, and that's gotten a bunch of people, like, a lot of furries going, ooh, this could be cool.
Ooh, woo.
The other thing that's coming out right now is Beastars.
Yeah, I watched the first episode of that.
Unfortunately, that's on Netflix Japan, and the only way that any of us are going to get to see it before, like, next year is piracy. And you know, that's why piracy died down for a while. It's like, it was easy to access. But when you'd pull shit like this, mm-hmm. like, I pirated Little Witch Academia week to week because they literally took a full fucking year to get it in the West and dubbed when it was airing weekly on Netflix Japan. And I'm like, I'm not waiting for this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I pirated it. And I'm pirating Beastars while it airs because I'm not waiting until 2020.
See, I like the art style of, I can't pronounce the other one, the wrestler one. I keep looking at, like, the Beastars, like, stills. It's like, they don't do that much for me, that style of furry.
Right.
But it looks clever.
Yeah. It's a very gangly style. Like, mm-hmm. they're not drawn to be uwu sexy furries. They're animal
people. But there will be porn.
Oh, there already is a lot of porn. Like, there was porn being drawn of the characters when the manga was going out, but now that they're animated and people are seeing things in a particular light, like that one scene where the deer guy grabs Lugosi's tail.
Yes.
And everyone's like, ooh, that's not gay. And I was like, no, that's super gay.
Stop making it gay.
And before we had to take a quick break because the power flickered, we're going to have to cut this episode really, really short, but I did have a couple quick things before we wrap it up. I did double check the thing about Beastars also. Like, the characters, I don't really find the designs to be very... They're not conventionally Japanese anime furry, and they're not Western anime furry. They're that the artist's own kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's not like the kind of muscle for... I don't know what to call that Japanese
Yeah, it's not
style.
Even like Japanese Bara style. It's very much its own thing. But the other good news is that all the characters are over the age of 18, which was actually a real concern because most characters in anime are 16 or so because that's when high school starts in Japan.
Right.
But they're specifically seniors. Checked the wiki for the characters, and like Lugosi's birthday is like April 9th, 2000. So he's born in the year 2000, but he's an adult. Same with the other two main characters, Haru and Lewis. So yay! We don't have to be like, hey, look, it's the new furry series of anime, but you can't draw porn because their characters are underage. Don't do that. That's a massive controversy. That's not going to have to become a controversy because they're old enough. Yay!
Yep.
But yeah, the power has flicked her off twice here. And so, Fuzz, you had one quick thing, and we're just going to have to wrap this up.
Oh, yeah. I happened to look up the wiki for an article on Alamo City Furry Invasion, and the article itself has been updated with this year's numbers, and they're at 1,300 attendees this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's 30% growth.
Yep.
That's a good trend.
So that's a good trend. And, you know, next year, if they have all the space in the same hotel, they should have plenty of room to grow. They can put the vendor hall in one space. Without having to sequester a group. And, you know, I think that'd be great. Like, as long as you don't have to share the space with
boomers
or high school cheerleaders, I think it'd be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a couple of the, you know, a couple of the aces, they let them wander through and they looked at books. They didn't buy anything. I mean, I could have sold, like, if I could, I could have sold a grandpa, like, a Sampico's Heart book. Like, this is the shit you fought for so that you could come here in your 80s and see cute otters. Like, look at her get fucked. It's really cool. There's that's tentacles. Right. Also, there's Isabel. Anyways, so that's cool. And, like, I think there was, like, a couple of the cheer moms might have, like, wandered through, but none of the cheerleaders didn't have to worry about that.
Mm-hmm. Also, we noticed a lot of kids this year, a lot of younger furries.
Yes. Okay. I do have
furries with their kid
over. A really cute anecdote.
Oh, yes, yes.
Before we wrap it up, because I'm really hoping the power doesn't flicker off, because that'll shut off everybody's mics. There was a mom in her like late 30s, early 40s, and her two kids who were in their like 12, 13. Mm-hmm. And mom comes up to the table and she's like, oh, these are really cool looking. And she picks up Scappo's art book, Backtrack 6. She's like, I really like that Naga. She's really pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And she picks it up and she's flicking through. She's like, oh, this is adult kids. You can't look at it. Mom's going to look at that. And the kid's like, Mom, put that down. Mom, no. Mom, put it down. And she's like, no, this is really cool. And she picked up another one that was like black and Rukus's book, or it was one that had black and white line art in it. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, this is really cool. I could color this like a coloring book. And the little girl's like, Mom, put that down. We should go. We should walk on.
How old was the mom?
The mom was in her like maybe 40 and the kid was like 12. But she was
me and Fuzz's age.
Yeah. Critically mortified that Mom was flipping through the furry porn at the table while the kid was just like, oh my God, my mom is looking at stuff. Oh, this is embarrassing. And I was like, consider yourself lucky, kid. Your mom took you to a furry con. So in case you didn't notice, this episode is coming out really late because Thursday night we had a lot of storms come through the area. Two times during this recording, the power flickered, which turned everything off but my laptop. And then a third time through, the power just went off and stayed off. So we had to scuttle the recording, and the half hour you just heard is from Thursday. So today is Tuesday. It's 11:15 a.m., and I am going to record a little bit more for you guys and put this out into the world. So one of the things I wanted to talk about on the show on Thursday was that this past weekend, my parents and I were going down to Waco, Texas to do a Pride Festival called Out on the Brazos. Now, for those of you that don't know, Waco, Texas is a very conservative city, eternally famous for the Branch Davidian Massacre, and a known stronghold of the Baptists, considering that Baylor University is there, which is a Baptist university. Very, very, very conservative. Well, 3 years ago, this group that's running Out on the Brazos said, well, fuck it, we're here and queer, and just because we live in this hellhole of a city doesn't mean we can't have pride. So they got together, and the first year was just this tiny little get-together. The second year, they were at a park and had 300 people. And this year, it seemed to have about doubled. I was down there with my parents helping sell stuff, but it was really nice to be down in a extremely queer space that wasn't at a furry con. So more often than not, the spaces you get that really eminently queer energy is only at cons. And it's been a few years since I've been to a Pride. And this little thing was at a tiny little park on the Brazos River in Waco, Texas. They had food trucks, they had stands, they had some vendors. And generally, it was just an extremely pleasant day. Like, I was down there to provide, you know, just physical support to lift things and carry things for my parents. But also, it was just a really good opportunity to get them down there and immerse them in, hey, this is what all the other queers look like that aren't wearing tails and ears or fursuits, right? So it was a really pleasant day. The con orgs are really nice. And the variety of groups that they had in Waco really, I wouldn't say impressed me because that's a little bit patronizing, but it made me very happy to see. So there was like voting rights groups, the Free Mom Hugs groups that is now apparently a thing. You know, they're accepting older adults with, you know, free mom, free dad hug shirts, and they will just give hugs to people at Pride. And it's now a thing. That's really cool. There was the Waco Trans Support Group. There was Texas Rising, which was a voter registration drive. The McLennan County Health Department was there distributing condoms and information on like STD testing and the like. There was a doctor there who was just accepting new patients. There was the Waco Immigrants Network, which supports racial justice for minorities and immigrants in Texas. There was a place called Cove, which is a shelter for homeless teens, which unfortunately a very large proportion are queer. There was a high school GSA. There were four affirming churches. One of them was a affirming Baptist church, which was like, yo, really? Because you don't expect that, but apparently so. My mom was very impressed by that. There was, so of the churches, there was the Quakers, there was Unitarians, which are generally pretty cool people, the Metropolitan Community Church, and of course the Aforementioned Baptists. And again, it was just a really nice day. Like the weather had shifted. It was a very pleasant morning and afternoon. They had music. They had food. It was just a really good time. It was a very long day, but very, very worthwhile. And my parents had a good show too, which they really need. And I was also amused that the best that the Baptists could muster was like two protesters that got bored about an hour in. Like they showed up with their signs. There's only two genders. The rainbow doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. Like, yawn. I've heard this shit a million times, kids. Find something better to do with your time. Like, go drink some Starbucks and run into the river or something. So, I mean, that's an incredibly minor thing, just kind of a footnote. Because I honestly expected there to be some people being ugly, because preconceived notions of Waco and all that. But it was actually just a really pleasant day, and I was very glad I got to go. Now, I was extremely, extremely tired when I got done, because I left the house at like 7:30 and got home at 9:30. 14-hour day, driving 230 miles or so round trip. The only other thing is that, minor spoilers here, says this is something that was a major part of my life and left me with some brain issues because of it. My Little Pony is finally over. The show has ended and we are all free now of the horse scourge. And, you know, I tease and I joke, but they did actually give it a good ending. Like, they had the finale and it was actually a very strong, like, anti-nationalist ending. So, like, spoilers for the horse finale, you know, skip ahead to the end if you don't want to hear that. But basically, this, I've missed most of the past season, but the gist of it is that the three main villains have been sowing racial discord amongst the ponies. Like, the earth ponies are hoarding food, the unicorns are going to use their magic, the Pegasus are going to, like, choke us out with clouds or whatever. And so they've been sowing this sort of racial disharmony. Since in this world, if there's no friendship, there's no magic. But ultimately, the day is won in that not only can all the ponies work together, but all the various other races on the continent can work together as well. Because the buffaloes show up, the dragons, the hippogriffs, the griffins, the sea ponies. Like, everybody comes together and they rainbow laser the bad guys into stone permanently. Yay. But the interesting thing really comes in the epilogue, because they decided to do sort of a, where are they now? Like, we're assuming 10, 15 years later, and the main cast is all old by giving them lines under their eyes, which I feel that. The Twilight is now long Twilight, and basically we get to see where the rest of the cast is, and like where the young cast is grown up, and now they're teaching at the school, and the CMC are now adults, around the same age as the main cast were at the start of the series, and like Rarity's become a cat lady, Applejack and Rainbow Dash are now official lesbians, Fluttershy is still getting the chaos dick. Like, it was really interesting to see how they're like, alright, well this is where these characters end up. Like, Pinkie Pie hooks up and marries the pony version of Weird Al and has a kid with him, because of course. And so, essentially, it's just like, this is the end, everybody's cool, deal with it, nerds. And the reason I bring up the lesbian horses bit is that, like, way back in the day, I caught a lot of shit from, you know, wanting there to be queer rep and queer, like, ship fix and all that fun stuff. But today, Mike Vogel, former VP of product development and person who works at Allspark Studios now, basically posted a meme of the cast that is basically canonically queer. Because Sunset Shimmer, she's listed as being bisexual, Scooter's aunts, Lyra and Bon Bon, but they also included like two nerds from Equestria Girls, but also Rainbow Dash and Applejack. There we go. Word of God, lesbian horses, deal with it. That made me pretty happy to see, and any bronies screeching about it can die mad. So I'm pretty happy to see how the show wrapped up, and everybody that I've seen online has generally been very happy and posting sappy fan art and all that, as you would expect from a show ending. I mean, it's been 9 goddamn years. Like, if you were 10 when you started watching the show, you're a legal adult now that it's over. Jeez, a weird chunk of time in my life, that's for damn sure. So that's really about it. There's been a lot of news stuff that has occurred. Like, we had a whole list of things that we wanted to talk about on this week's episode that now that it's fucking Tuesday, it's all just out the window because there's already been a slew of other bullshit, so I'm not going to really get into it. I'm going to say that Final Fantasy XIV is super good. I'm going to say that kolaches from the Czech Stop in West Texas are extremely good, and dogs are great. I love my little dog, Adam. So I'm just going to wrap it up now. You can find us at patreon.com/southpawscast. You can find me on Twitter at Saverin Drake, on Twitch at Saverin, and Saverin at Snouts.online on Mastodon. The show will return on Thursday, recording this week, hopefully. Fuzz was able to get teleworking this week because apparently Trump is going to be in Dallas on Thursday, and the last thing Fuzz wants to do is have to be working downtown. So that should make recording Thursday a little easier, given that he doesn't have to travel all the way back from downtown. Y'all keep being cool, trans rights, and good night, and big books.